This is a Dive into Malaysia travel podcast, episode 15, with Dive into Malaysia founder Sharon Goulet. In today's episode, I'm discussing everything Sabah. Now, Sabah is one of the two big Malaysian states located on the island of Borneo, or East Malaysia, as it's also known. Borneo is the third largest island in the world, if you don't count Australia, and home to a huge amount of diversity. There are three countries located on this island: Malaysia, Brunei, and Indonesia. And this podcast is focused solely on the state of Sabah in Malaysia, which is on the northern east tip of Borneo near the Philippines. So it's kind of like right at the top and over to the side. Sabah is home to so many amazing natural attractions. It really should be on any bucket list. It also has what may be Malaysia's most famous attraction, which is the Sepalok Orangutan Rehabilitation Centre. If you've seen pictures of orangutans in Malaysia before, most probably it was from this centre. This is the most famous place to see orangutans, but there are also many other animals to look out for, like pygmy elephants, sun bears, many types of monkeys, crocodiles, tarsiers, and more. A trip to Sabah is a trip about natural attractions, from the wildlife to the rainforest to the absolutely stunning islands off the coast to the amazing underwater environments. It's really just so fantastic, and there's so many different amazing experiences to be had. Now, in this episode, I'm discussing some of these amazing things that you should go see and do, why you should visit Sabah, everything you should do when you're there, and I want to give you an overview so that you can realize how amazing Sabah is and why it should be somewhere you visit. I just visited Sabah again last month and I had such an amazing time, so I really can't wait to share this with you here today. By the end of this podcast, you'll be ready to book your trip to Sabah.
Welcome to the Dive into Malaysia Travel Podcast, the place to be when you're dreaming and planning all the awesome adventures you could have in Malaysia. Each week on the show, your host Sharon will take you from underwater adventures in one of Malaysia's marine parks to standing on top of the world in Merdeka 118 in KL to eating the best food you'll experience in your life at a hawker centre to planning how to get from A to B and where to stay. It's all here.
So today we are talking all about Sabah. Now I love Sabah and I think it's a little underrated. While the orangutans at Sepalok are amazing, there are also so many other amazing things to do in Sabah that really don't get enough press. It's quite a different place to Peninsular Malaysia, and they each deserve their own trips, as does Sarawak, the other Malaysian state in Borneo that we'll talk about in a future episode. But before we dive into everything Sabah, remember you can find today's show notes at diveintomalaysia.com/episode15. This has links to everything I talk about in this episode and further information to help you plan your trip. If you have any questions or want to learn more about travelling in Malaysia, make sure you also join us in the Malaysia Travel Planning Group in Facebook. You can find this by simply typing malaysiaplanning.com into a browser and it will take you to the Facebook group. So, Sabah, what do you need to know? In this episode, I'm covering quite a lot. I'm going to give you an overview of Sabah, why you should visit Sabah, how to get there, how to get around, what to do once you're there, and how long you should visit for. Like I said, Sabah is a state of Malaysia on the northeastern tip of Borneo. It's about 73,000 square kilometres, so it's a decent size. And it's the second largest state in Malaysia. I think it's actually a great size to travel around, as you don't ever need to go too far to find something great. So you're not doing full day journeys to get somewhere. There's always something to stop at and look at and enjoy. It has a tropical climate and it's close to the equator. So it's hot and humid year round and it can rain at any time. So be prepared. But it is most likely to rain during the northeast monsoon from October to February, and more likely to be dry between May and September. And this is also peak tourist time. Now, a guide I had when I was in Sabah just recently, he was like, it seems to move all the time when it's super wet and when it's not. So not to pay too much attention to those dates. Now, if you're a diver, the best time to visit is from April to December with the best visibility in July and August when it can be amazing. And of course, again, that does coincide with a peak time. But if you're serious about your diving, you're going to want that great visibility. Now, humans can be traced back to living in Sabah 20,000 to 30,000 years ago. This area started trading with China starting from the 14th century AD and came under the influence of the Bruneian Empire in the 14th and 15th centuries. Like Peninsular Malaysia, Sabah also had British colonial influences. In the 19th century, Sabah was acquired by the British-based North Borneo Chartered Company and it became a British Crown colony in 1946. During World War II, Sabah was occupied by the Japanese for 3 years and it was home to the infamous Sandakan death marches. On the 31st of August 1963, the British granted Sabah self-government and a couple of weeks later, Sabah became one of the founding members of the Federation of Malaysia. Now, Indonesia wasn't happy about this, and this led to the Indonesia-Malaysia confrontation, which was a three-year armed conflict along the Malaysian and Indonesian borders in Borneo, which was resolved. They've also dealt with threats from the Philippines. Today, about 3.4 million people live in Sabah. Like elsewhere in Malaysia, you'll see a mix of ethnicities, including people with Malay, Chinese, and Indian backgrounds. But what's different here is there's even a bigger mix because over half the population have an Indigenous background of varying different tribes. And it's only just 9% Malay and 7% Chinese people here. So in that way, it's quite different from Peninsula Malaysia, especially because most of the Malays actually come from Brunei and have a slightly different culture and language to those in Peninsula Malaysia. So it really is its own unique cultural mix within Malaysia. It's estimated there are 42 ethnic groups in Sabah with over 200 sub-ethnic groups. These each have their own languages, cultures, and belief systems. Sabah also has a large amount of people who are Malaysian citizens. There have been many refugees arriving from conflicts in southern Philippines and Indonesia, as well as workers from these countries. There are actually many people in Sabah that are considered stateless. That's actually about a quarter of the population are these non-Malaysian citizens, so quite a big chunk. So why visit Sabah? Imagine, yesterday you were snorkeling off a tropical island before watching a turtle lay her eggs and watching some new baby turtles take their first swim out to sea. Today you're watching the younger orangutans train on their rope course after seeing an older male feed on the famous feeding platforms at Sepalok. You're about to head over to see the sun bears, and you're hoping you'll see one of the world's smallest bears climbing high up in a tree. But mostly you're crossing your fingers that you'll see a pygmy elephant as you glide along the Kinabatangan River this afternoon. And that's just the start of your Sabah adventure. Those were all things I just did in Sabah, and it was truly amazing. The wildlife attractions are top rate, and I saw so many monkeys, orangutans, sun bears, turtles, and crocodiles. I also saw a gorgeous leopard cat, and that's not even talking about the marine life I saw in the sea. There's gorgeous beaches and islands. In fact, I don't know why the Maldives get all the press for gorgeous islands, as I found the islands around Semporna in Sabah to be even more beautiful. And the Pasir beside them had the best snorkeling I've ever experienced. And this is after me having done my diving certification on a liveaboard on the Great Barrier Reef. It was truly amazing. I was just surrounded by fish and in total heaven. There's also magnificent rainforest, interesting cultures, and great food. The real question is, why shouldn't you go to Sabah? Because I really can't think of an answer to that. So now you're convinced you should go, how do you get there? First of all, the only way to get here from Peninsula Malaysia or Singapore is to fly. Now, it takes 2 to 3 hours, depending on where you're flying from. It's not super close, but it's not all that far either. There are plenty of flights. You won't have trouble finding one. The majority leave from KL and arrive in Kota Kinabalu, the capital of Sabah, but there are plenty of other options too. I just flew from KL direct to Sandakan, and when I left, I flew from Kota Kinabalu directly to Penang. So there's options beside that as well. The best news is that these flights can be very affordable. I've paid $10 Australian before for a flight between KL and Sabah, which is only 30 ringgit. It can be crazy affordable. Multiple budget airlines fly here, as well as Malaysia Airlines. Skyscanner is a good place to go to find the best prices and to book with the airlines directly after you found them. Getting around Sabah is also straightforward between the main places. Many of the main places have airports and you can fly for affordable prices between places like Kota Kinabalu, Sandakan, Tawau, and Lahad Datu. There are also buses between the main places or you can hire private taxis. Now, some of the amazing wildlife attractions require organized tours to get to them, like Turtle Island that we'll discuss soon. Or it may be possible to make your own way to them, like the Kinabatangan River. Again, we're about to discuss that. But it doesn't make much sense to do this. So you're better off doing a tour. I'm about to talk more about that. I have links to everything you need to know in the show notes at diveintomalaysia.com/episode15, including where you can book buses if you decide to travel by bus in Sabah. So you're in Sabah. Now what happens? Well, of course, it's time to start having some fun and some amazing experience. Now, before I dive into this, obviously, I'm not talking about every single place you could visit in Sabah. Okay, there are plenty more places. But these are the main places where I think you're likely and that you really should go. They're the types of places you'd fit into a 1 to 2 week itinerary rather than far beaten off the track places. There is lots more information on everything in the show notes that I mentioned in today's podcast. I really am just trying to give you a taste of what you can experience and a starting point to planning your trip to Sabah. I also need to talk about the government warnings that can exist for Sabah, especially if you're Australian, British, New Zealand, or Canadian. The US just doesn't have high level warnings about what I'm about to mention. So if you're American, you're lucky, you don't have to worry about this. Of course, everyone should always go check their latest government warnings before going anywhere, because this is just one point in time and I can't research every country in the world for you. Basically, there are a couple of kidnappings off the coast of Sabah near the Philippines. The Philippine Islands are very close to Sabah, and it's the part of the Philippines where there's a lot of civil unrest. So there have been kidnappings for ransom that have taken place. Now, generally, this is only locals, and only once or twice has this affected foreigners. And the last one was in 2016. Now, since then, the Malaysian government has done a lot to make sure it never happens again. There's a much greater military presence, which you'll see yourself in the area. There's a nighttime curfew for boats and much more. So while it really doesn't seem like it's a problem anymore, or that it would happen again, to me anyway, unfortunately, some government warnings remain. Now, the big problem with this is that it can affect travel insurance. So make sure you're educated and know about what the latest warning is, and also check that you get travel insurance that will cover you, or be aware if you go to these places that you may not be covered. Generally, the warnings are only about the islands and the coastline. So going places like Sepalok Orangutans and Kinabatangan River and Taban Wildlife Reserve I'm about to talk about, those are generally not a problem. But like I said, I haven't checked every warning in the world. You need to check for yourself. The places that are likely to be an issue are the Semporna Islands, unfortunately, and Turtle Island. The good news is that most places I talk about, most places you want to go in Sabah, it's not a problem at all. It's not a problem anywhere near Kota Kinabalu or any of the islands there. There's plenty of places you can go and still avoid that. And for Australia, at least, actually the rest of the country, other than that little bit of shoreline, is rated green. So no warning at all. You're right to go travel. There's no reason to be alarmed about this. So the capital of Sabah is Kota Kinabalu, and it has about 250,000 people. So not all that many. It's more like a big country town. And it's where you're likely to start your adventure. Although on my most recent trip, I actually ended in Kota Kinabalu and I flew straight into Sandakan, which is something to consider to avoid backtracking. Kota Kinabalu is a surprisingly charming city with seaside views, friendly locals and colourful markets. It's in quite a stunning location with Mount Kinabalu on one side, which you can climb, and it's surrounded by the beautiful South China Sea coastline on the other. The city itself has some great museums, temples and beaches, but its day trips from Kota Kinabalu are where you really start seeing how great Sabah is. You can start by getting out on the water and exploring the islands around Kota Kinabalu in the Tunku Abdul Rahman National Park. Hopefully I got that right. Here you'll find great beaches, snorkeling, diving, kayaking and trekking in the jungle interiors. Easy to visit these islands too, as they leave from Jesudun Point, which is a jetty ferry terminal in a very central location. And there's many day tours you can choose from, or you can do it independently on boats leaving from there. We actually have a Kota Kinabalu island hopping guide that's linked to in the show notes at diveintomalaysia.com/episode15. You can also climb Mount Kinabalu or take it easier exploring the attractions around here in the UNESCO World Heritage listed Mount Kinabalu National Park. In a day trip, you can see quite a lot. You can visit hot springs, go on a canopy walk, a war memorial, and much more. But you will need a couple of days if you're going to climb up the mountain. If wildlife is why you're in Sabah, you can visit the Lok Kawi Wildlife Park, which is like half zoo, half botanical gardens, or get more natural and explore the Kleas wetlands, which have wildlife cruises where you can spot many types of monkeys and birds. And at night, you can cruise around this area and see fireflies. Another great place to visit is Mari Mari Cultural Village, which is where you can learn about the indigenous cultures of Sabah with traditional houses, often longhouses, pagan rituals, clothing, dance performances, and more. It's kind of a good place to start before you go and explore more of Sabah. Now, the next place you are likely to visit, and what I consider the number one place you should 100% visit in Sabah, is Sandakan. Now, Sandakan is the second largest city in Sabah. It's by the coast and it's very close to Sepalok, which you may have heard of before, thanks to its famous orangutan rehabilitation centre. Now, Sepalok and Sandakan are quite close together, so you don't like stay in Sandakan for a couple of days and go stay in Sepalok. Stay in one of them, use it as a base, and you can explore both areas quite easily. Now, I'd say there are four big natural attractions that you must do around Sepalok, and you only actually need a day to go visit them all. So this starts with, of course, the Sepalok Orangutan Rehabilitation Centre. Now, like I said earlier, if you've seen pictures of orangutans, there's a good chance they were from here. It's quite famous. It's well set up and it is really awesome. You're not going to be disappointed going here. Well, actually, I say that, but there is a slight chance. They cannot guarantee you will see orangutans come to the famous feeding platform because these are wild animals. This is a place where they're doing their best to get orangutans back in the wild that have suffered some type of injury or had some type of problem. So they don't make the orangutans come perform for tourists. They do need to want to come and feed at these feeding platforms. But there is a really high chance you will see orangutans here. I've actually been twice, and one time, the first time, oh my gosh, it was so amazing. There are orangutans everywhere. And some of them actually stood on the platform, like the viewing platform. So we got to see them really up close. But the second time, there was just one orangutan at the feeding platform. And it was really great to see that. But after my experience the first time, it did feel a little disappointing. What is also good there is there's an area for the younger orangutans where they're practicing their skills and they feed them there and stuff too. So it's very easy to go see them and you can watch them for quite a while, quite up close behind mirrored glass. So you can watch them without disturbing them. And that is really amazing as well. So definitely go to all the parts. There's a video as well that's very informative and great to watch before you head out to the feeding platform. Now, right next door to this is the Bornean Sun Bear Conservation Center. And this is like a similar thing, but for sun bears. So this is also great to go see. The money you pay for entry for these places too, they're helping these animals and these conservation efforts. So you can feel really good about it. At the sun bear one, you're actually on a canopy walkway. You're walking up above the rainforest floor and you can spot some sun bears. Again, this is a conservation center. While I think it would have to be very unlikely you wouldn't see one because they're in a relatively small space and some of them are enclosed. How good it'll be depends. I was really happy that I saw a sun bear high up in the trees climbing around. It was really quite amazing because even though they're small for a bear, they still seem too big to me to be climbing up so high in trees, but very cool. Nearby these two places is the Sandakan Rainforest Discovery Center. So it is actually in Sepalock despite being called Sandakan. And this is a great place to go to discover more about the rainforest and to learn about it. There's lots of information boards, gardens with different plants. There's a massive big canopy walkway, which is amazing. There's some really high viewpoints that are really perfect for bird watchers. And there were plenty of people camped up on those with the biggest cameras I've ever seen. It's a really nice place to go wander around and enjoy as well. And the final of the big four is Labuk Bay Proboscis Monkey Sanctuary. So these are those big orangey coloured monkeys that have really big noses. If you've seen a picture of one before, you'll know what I mean. They're kind of goofy looking. I quite like them. They're a little bit coloured like orangutans as well, so they stand out a bit. This is a really cool place to go see them. Now, the reason it's cool is a little bit sad. As you'll see when you're in Sabah, there is lots of clearing of rainforest and lots of palm oil plantations, which means there's less and less space for these amazing animals to live. Now, one of the palm oil plantation owners near where Labuk Bay is, he realised that the proboscis monkeys were running out of space and he set up part of his land as a sanctuary for them. Now, today, there's a lot of monkeys there. So many, in fact, that the rainforest can't support them. There's not enough food for them. So they do feed these monkeys four times a day. So some people can think this is not a great place to visit because of that, because they are feeding them in a way so that they can survive. Honestly, personally, where else are these monkeys going to go? So I didn't really see an ethical issue with it. It was amazing because there were tons of these monkeys. I went to a later feeding time, which are meant to be not as good as the earlier ones even. But there were so many monkeys, they were just everywhere. You have to walk a short way on a boardwalk to get to the feeding platforms. And then the monkeys just started appearing from everywhere. It was totally amazing and I very much enjoyed it. So definitely make time for all of these attractions. And there's also many other attractions in Sandakan. You can visit the Sandakan Memorial Park, which is a place to go to learn a little bit more about the death marches that happened to Allied forces, particularly Australian and British, that are really tragic. And there's some information boards there too. I found that worthwhile visiting as an Australian. And you can easily spend a half day exploring Sandakan itself. Now, city tour is a great way to do this, or you can explore independently and visit temples, churches, the House of Agnes Keith and the market. Now, I wouldn't say Sandakan is the most exciting city. And for me, a visit here is about the natural wildlife attractions that I just already talked about and the overnight adventures you can have here. So definitely factor in some time, not just to see those animal attractions and Sandakan and the ones around there, but also to do some overnight adventures. Now from Sandakan, you can visit Turtle Island, which was one of the highlights of my trip. I'm a big turtle lover, so it was perfect for me. But even if you weren't so much into turtles, it's actually just a really beautiful island to go get to spend 24 hours. Its real name is Selingan Island. It's inside the Turtle Islands National Park. It's home to a turtle conservation project. Each day, only around 40 lucky people can spend the night and watch the turtles lay eggs, as well as the release of newly hatched baby turtles. Now, I did this last month and it's truly amazing. Now, you have to visit overnight. You can't do a day trip here because everything happens at night and there is a curfew on ships in the evening for some of the reasons I talked about earlier. So you get nearly 24 hours on the island, and in the day you can snorkel, swim, relax on the beach and enjoy what feels like a private island, actually. There's so few people around. There's no noise. It's really awesome. Meals are included in packages as well as basic accommodation and all the turtle activities. It's an affordable price. And when I say basic accommodation, that's what they say. I didn't find it that basic. You have air conditioning, you have your own bathroom, although there's only cold water, and it's comfortable enough. Don't expect a five-star resort. It is a long way from that. But I think it's a little above basic. Now, there's more information in the show notes, including a video of the experience. I really loved getting to watch the turtle lay eggs. And then we got to bury them and let new baby turtles go free. And it all up, it was a unique and awesome experience. Now, the other big thing I recommend you do from Sanakan is visit the Kinabatangan River. Now, the Kinabatangan River is the second longest river in Malaysia and the longest in Sabah. It's 560 kilometers long and starts in Borneo's interior before making its way to the sea. It's a chocolate colour and surrounded by rainforest, which is home to a lot of wildlife. And it really is a great place to spot wildlife, although the reason for this is sad. Now, the forest that lines the rivers is sort of getting smaller and smaller. So it's a thinner and thinner strip as the palm oil plantations grow. So this means that the wildlife is getting more and more concentrated along the river, which does make them easier to spot. So it's a sad reason, but the upside is you have a great chance of seeing wildlife along here. What's also great is that it's easy to explore this area thanks to the lodges that line the river and can take you on cruises and tracks to help you appreciate it all. I really don't think there's an easier way to get into the jungle and spot wildlife in the wild than sitting in a boat, and it's all just crazy easy from here. Now, if you're really short on time, you can visit on a half-day trip, but this just takes you on an afternoon cruise. For the best chance to see wildlife, it's important to cruise at different times of day because different animals are like out and about at different times of day. And the more days you can do it, the more chance you have to see different types of wildlife. People usually stay 2 to 3 nights, and that's what I recommend. You generally book a tour package with a lodge, and you can find options in the show notes. These tour packages include everything you need, right? They include transfers from the Sanakan Sepalok area, your accommodation, all meals, and at least 2 cruises a day. So the standard package would be a morning and afternoon cruise, with some including night cruises. And usually there's night walks, day walks, and some other experiences in the area. Okay, so a tour package is really the only way to travel here. Well, technically it'd be possible to try and make your way here. You'd have to get a taxi at least some of the way. The lodges are all spread out, so you'd have to head to just one anyway, really. And you're going to need all these things when you get there. So the package is a really good value and the way to go. There's no 5-star hotels here, but the accommodation can be quite flash. I just stayed at the Borneo Natural Sakau Billet Resort. And my room was amazing. It looked out over a lagoon and it was just beautiful. There are also dorm options for budget travelers, and the whole packages are really great value, like I said, and you can see more specifics about the experience in the show notes. So I highly recommend you budget at least 4 to 6 nights in the Sanakan area, with 2 to 3 nights by the Kinabatangan River, a night at Turtle Island, and 1 to 2 nights in Sepalok or Sanakan. Even if you just did this in Sabah, if that's all you have time for, you'd leave having a fantastic trip and getting a great overview of what makes Sabah so great. And you wouldn't even have to do that much traveling or anything. All these things are very accessible. But ideally, I think you should keep traveling and see more of Sabah. So next up, I'm talking about what I did next after I left this area, and that's the Tuban Wildlife Reserve, which is near the city of Lahad Datu. Now, Lahad Datu is about an easy 3-hour drive from Sanakan, or you can fly in. And from here, you can visit Tuban Wildlife Reserve and Resort, which is one of the premier experiences in Borneo. Again, you do need to buy a package, which will include transfers from Lahad Datu to the resort, meals, all activities, everything you need. Tuban Wildlife Reserve is 1,120 square kilometres big, and you'll feel like you're years away from civilization. Well, except from the fact that you're staying at a fabulous resort anyway. It's a great place to spot pygmy elephants and primates, as well as orangutans. In fact, the orangutans and sun bears from Sepalok, like from the Sepalok Rehabilitation Centre and the Sun Bear Conservation Centre, are actually released here at Tuban, which gives you an idea of how great it is. There are many more animals and birds to keep a lookout for as well, and this is where I saw a super cute leopard cat on the night drive. Now, the only way to visit here is to stay at least overnight at the Tuban Wildlife Resort. This place is fabulous. You'll want to stay for longer than a night, that's for sure. It's in stunning surrounds by a river with plenty of wildlife around. In fact, I saw quite a bit of wildlife just when walking around the resort. There always seemed to be a guide around to point out animals to me, and it was part of what I really loved. It felt quite personalised. I also love some of my noisy monkey neighbors. The food is great and the activities can be individualized to give you a great stay. I was lucky enough to have the same guide throughout my stay who was great and always available to help me. Now, the absolute top attraction here are the mud volcanoes, where wildlife like to gather for their minerals. Don't think lava and dangerous volcanoes. This is mud bubbling up and the area is covered by mud, so it's quite open, which helps you view the animals as well. There's a big viewing platform next to it that goes quite high, so you can watch the animals at these volcanoes. And it's a really great spot. My only big regret from my Sabah trip was that it rained a lot when I visited Tubbin, and it rained a lot when I went to go to the mud volcano, and I didn't see any wildlife there. So I feel a little ripped off because usually you could see quite a lot. So definitely visit Tubbin for a few days. My visit was too quick so that when something like that happened, I wasn't able to try and repeat it and get a better experience. So definitely stay for a few days if you can. So if it does rain like that and you have a similar experience to me, if you're unlucky, you can go back and try again. If you're going to splurge on one thing in Sabah, really make it Tubbin. Of course, you can read and watch a video I made too of the experience in the show notes. Now, heading further south in Sabah, I'm kind of doing everything in a line in the logical order that you might do it if you traveled there. The next place worth considering visiting is Sampoorna. Now, this is a place to head for absolutely amazing diving and snorkeling with some of the best experiences in the world. Now, if you aren't a diver or a snorkeler, don't worry. The islands here are stunningly beautiful and you're still going to love visiting here. Go here still. It's crazy. There's powder white sand, crystal blue water, and jungle covered little stripes of land. It's crazy, crazy, crazy gorgeous. There are so many beautiful places. Like when I first went to Redang Island on the east coast of Malaysia, wow, it took my breath away. I thought it was absolutely gorgeous. And it really is, right? But the islands around Sampoorna are just really next level gorgeous. Now, Sampoorna itself is a small city where you can base yourself or you can stay at one of the islands. Or there are even some resorts built over the water on stilts. In fact, if you've ever seen a random photo of a Malaysian resort built on stilts over the water that's not really attached to land, it would be somewhere in Sabah, most probably around Sampoorna. Now, if you have the budget, staying on one of the islands is definitely the way to go. I stayed in Sampoorna and day tripped as I was short on time and I wanted to see a lot, so that can work as well. There are cheap snorkeling and diving tours, which can take you to a few islands and many great snorkeling and diving spots. Try to spend at least a couple of days doing these tours to see a range of islands and locations. It really is just really great to explore. Now, Sipadan is the most famous island around here and it's world renowned for its diving. Only 120 people can dive here a day and permits can be hard to get. Generally, you need to book a tour package of at least 4 days with a local travel agent to get one. So if you want a chance, you do need to dedicate some time to this area. So if visiting is important to you, make sure you get onto that as soon as you book your flights. Now, I didn't go to Sipadan. It just all felt a bit hard to me. And I still had a really amazing experience. So while next time I definitely want to go to Sipadan, it actually confuses my brain how it can be so much better than the rest because everywhere else I went was so great around there. But I really trust the people who've told me that and I really can't wait to just go see how amazingly stunning it is one day. Now, definitely make sure you go to my show notes and check out my Sampoorna Island guides. Even if you're just going to quickly look at the photos and the video so you know what I mean about how gorgeous this area is. Next up is Tawau, which is the main city near Sampoorna. It's about 1.75 hours away and the main way people reach Sampoorna, the gateway to Sampoorna, is generally Tawau, although I came down from Lahad Datu, but I did a private taxi so I could do that. Now there's an airport in Tawau with many flights and you can take a bus, minivan or taxi to Sampoorna. The taxis are very affordable. And it only cost me about 100 ringgit through my Sampoorna hotel to the airport in Tawau. Tawau itself is the third largest city in Sabah. I wouldn't say it's a must visit, but it is a nice place to explore if you're coming through here. It also has some fabulous seafood, so try to fit in a meal. Nature enthusiasts will enjoy Tawau Hills Park, where you can explore the jungle, climb mountains, and see one of the tallest tropical trees in the world. You can cool down here by swimming at the base of a waterfall. There's also hot springs around Tawau, a cocoa museum, and more. Now from here, you can easily fly back to Kota Kinabalu or back to Peninsula Malaysia, or you can take the longer way back to Kota Kinabalu and visit the Maliau Basin Conservation Area. Sorry, I'm really not sure how to say that. It's a lush, unspoilt rainforest that features a breathtaking 7-tier waterfall and is rich with flora and fauna. Over 80 species of orchids have been recorded in the area, most of them newly discovered. It's a little out of the way and really amazing. It's the best place to visit nature in Sabah if you really want to get away from it all and discover primeval wilderness. Now, the basin itself is a 25-kilometer wide depression filled with rainforest. It's the best place in all of Borneo to experience primary rainforest and one of the best places in the world to experience a huge amount of biodiversity. It's definitely worth a visit if you can fit it in. In addition to the places I've talked about today, there are also many places on the western coast of Sabah, especially if you love beaches and islands. However, I do recommend fitting in as much as possible as you can from the places I've discussed in this episode. So how long should you stay in Sabah? As long as you have. A couple of weeks would be ideal, but you can do a lot in a week with some organization beforehand. If you only have a few days, I recommend flying direct to Sanakan and just visiting attractions around there. There really is a lot in that region, and it's just so easily accessible. I really do love it and really recommend you at least do that region. Now, within a week, you could visit Sanakan and Kota Kinabalu areas, or you could visit Sanakan area and down to Semporna or the Taban Wildlife Reserve. 2 weeks and you could visit all of that. Now, if longer, you could have a great adventure right around Sabah. So that's it. That's everything Sabah to get you started. Remember, if you have any questions, to join us in the Facebook group, which you can find at malaysiaplanning.com, and ask away. Everything Sabah is very fresh on my mind at the moment, and I just love talking about it. So please come into the Facebook group and let's talk about Sabah. Now, to recap today, I gave you an overview of Sabah. We discussed a brief history, why you should visit, how to get there, how to get around, and what to do once you're there. We also talked about how long to visit. Now, remember, you can find show notes for this episode at diveintomalaysia.com/episode15. With many links to a lot more information to really help you plan your trip. Now, make sure you subscribe to this channel, because next episode, I'm talking all about traveling in Malaysia with kids. I have done this so many times and I'm hoping to have some special guests on the show, namely my children. So they can tell you themselves what it's like to be a kid traveling in Malaysia. Make sure you listen, and I look forward to chatting with you then.
Thanks for listening to Dive Into Malaysia Travel. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more travel inspiration, planning advice, and fun about traveling in Malaysia. Don't forget to leave a review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you next episode.